You're listening to the Changing the World Summit, where inspiring leaders from around the world share their secrets on having more impact in these times of change, and where you can participate in our project to remove over 1 million plastic bottles from the environment while providing impoverished entrepreneurs with an opportunity to thrive. I'm your host, Julia Steggy, with the pleasure of interviewing changemakers willing to share their secrets for having more impact. Listen to the entire interview series and make your donations to our plastics removal program at www.changingtheworldsummit.com.
Welcome to Changing the World Summit. I'm your host, Julia Steggy. And today we have a special guest, CJ Hayden, who I have been aware of since I first was a little whippersnapper entrepreneur back in the early 90s. And so this is a very special interview for me. CJ Hayden is the best-selling author of Get Clients Now. That was the marketing handbook for the entrepreneurs back when I was getting started, and probably is still, because it's such timeless knowledge. She's also author of the Women's Giving Circle Guide and 50 Ways Coaches Can Change the World. So how aligned is that? CJ is a business coach based in San Francisco, and since 1992, she's been helping self-employed professionals build thriving businesses based on their personal mission. CJ is founder of the nonprofit Citizen Angel and co-founder of the Giving Circle A to the third power, Access, Advancement, and Autonomy. She raises thousands of dollars each year to benefit the education and economic empowerment of women and girls in the developing world. So how cool is that? Thanks, CJ, for coming and being on my interview today.
You bet, Julia. Lovely introduction. I'm pleased to be here.
Well, you know, as somebody who is a change maker, tell me, has it always been the case for you since you were a little whippersnapper yourself, or is this something that just developed in adult life? Tell us a little bit about your history.
Well, I've been actively engaged in change-making work since I left the corporate world to become self-employed, which was in 1990. You know, when I was a corporate employee, I was more insulated from the world. But as a business owner, the process of networking to build my business took me out into the community, and I met people who were working for causes. I got acquainted with the nonprofit world, and I started volunteering in a couple of places. And then within about 3 years, I'd started my own initiative, the Women's Economic Network. And I realized that I was passionate about helping women and girls achieve economic security and independence and acquire the education that could get them there. And the next thing I knew, I was involved in all sorts of projects, from a women entrepreneurs program with a local professional association to a women in business mentoring program at the Chamber of Commerce. And then in 2012, a colleague and I formed a women's giving circle in San Francisco with the goal of funding girls' education and women's entrepreneurship in the developing world. And in a very short time, our circle was generating $30,000 a year in donations to programs in India and Nepal and Zambia. And that was what inspired me to write the Women's Giving Circle Guide, so that others would have the tools to form circles like ours to further their causes, whatever they might happen to be.
That's so cool. You know, one of the reasons I wanted to do this summit to begin with, because I know that many of us have ideas. Something we see something, we think, oh, that needs to change, or isn't that too bad, or something like that. And most of us just don't do anything about it. And I wanted to find out from people who do stuff about it, what makes you do it, you know, and where does it go from just that idea to I'm actually going to take action on this? And what's that secret ingredient? So when you first started getting into entrepreneurship and you started seeing, you know, what other people were doing, was there ever resistance to contributing in that way? Were you ever thinking, oh, I have to build my business, I can't be focusing on this do-gooder stuff, or did you just dive right in?
Well, there's certainly been moments when I've said, whoa, I'm spending too many pro bono hours here and I need to scale back. Definitely, I've had that happen. But I think the key to actually doing something about your ideas rather than just dreaming about them is staying inspired and a little rebellious. It's like Congressman John Lewis said, if you want to make changes, you have to get into good trouble. So there was a moment for me when I was lying in bed on a Sunday morning reading an article in Fortune magazine about the glass ceiling, and it just made me mad. I thought, why are we wasting the talent and intelligence of half the world's population by holding back women and girls? This is wrong. And it was that sense of injustice that really fueled me in the beginning. But then once I started hanging around with other change makers, we inspired each other, and we still do. You know, when our giving circle hears from the founder of the Girls Literacy Program that we fund in India that she was able to give 400 girls in the slums of Mumbai books to read this year because of us, it just
wow.
makes me want to keep going. So once it's in motion, I think, the ball keeps going because it feeds itself. It's that moment of getting started that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
It's that transformative moment. Kind of like when you start a business, right? What makes you actually go do it rather than just sitting in your cubicle wondering if maybe you could be a business owner someday?
Well, yeah. Let's deconstruct that. You know, what does that look like? You're sitting in your, you know, did you think about it before you left corporate? Was that how, or did they just lay you off?
I definitely did. I definitely thought about it. I thought about it multiple times. And in fact, I did leave the corporate world a couple of times and go out on my own. And well, you'll laugh at this because here I am, author of Get Clients Now, right? I couldn't figure out how to get clients. So I went back to having a job.
You obviously did figure it out. You figured it out.
The first two times I couldn't. But the third time I said, there's got to be a system. And when I couldn't find one, I invented one. But it's that rebelliousness that for me has been the key. It's that moment of saying the way that things are is not the way that they should be. And if they're not changing fast enough, I want to do something about it. It's time for me to step out and act.
Mm-hmm. And so then how did you end up finding other people? Well, you live in the Bay Area, so
mm-hmm.
might be easier than if you were in the farm field somewhere, maybe. Maybe not. Actually, the farm field was the easiest place for me to find change makers in my history. That was just a coincidence, maybe, or something. But, you know, when sometimes we're sitting there and we're thinking, oh, you know, I can't just do this myself. How did you overcome that?
Well, you can't just do it yourself, whatever it is. You know, you need collaborators, you need people to network with, you need others to help you and support you, and in the beginning, you need people to mentor you. So I think that the way that it's worked for me is, imagine that there's this ocean out there of change-making work happening. And the ocean is full of little change-maker fish, and they're swimming around. And there you are, standing on the shore, wondering, how can I be part of this? Well, instead of standing on the shore, what you need to do is you need to get in the water. You know, wade in, put on your snorkel mask at the beginning, because you're not a fish yet, and look around and see what's going on around you from the inside instead of from the outside. You've got to plunge in, and once you do that, it's just amazing what you discover in terms of people and opportunities and possibilities. Get off the shore, wade in, start interacting with the fish, and most of the time you're welcomed. You find that, oh, here's an opening for me, and here's another, and here's some other people that are doing something that I want to do or that are doing something that inspires me. That is really, I think, one of the keys.
So it's really, it is a collaboration. And I was just thinking, yeah, sure, the people that are already doing stuff, when they see somebody getting ready to do stuff, it's a very exciting thing for them.
Yes.
You know, that's why they would be welcoming. Certainly.
Yeah,
right?
When we see a woman who comes as a guest to a Giving Circle meeting, for example, and she's thinking, how could I ever become a philanthropist? I'm not wealthy. And we point out that the Giving Circle model is constructed for exactly that. You get a bunch of contributions together, and all of a sudden your circle becomes a major donor as an entity. When you individually maybe are just a drop in the bucket, the circle as a group becomes a force to be reckoned with. And then you get personal relationships and feedback and contact, and you get immersed in the work that the causes that you're funding are doing in a way that, as an individual donor, I think it's very hard to do.
So what would you say would be, like, once you've gotten your idea maybe begun and you're getting together with other people, what might be sort of the next step? I think that sometimes what happens is we get together with other people and then somehow we did not maintain our excitement, or busyness got in and we're like, well, we had to deal with something at home or at work or something like that. Have you figured out a way to integrate all of this and maintain your excitement even when busyness comes up?
When I did the home study course, Introduction to Social Entrepreneurship, I came up with a seven-step model, and I won't go through that whole model here, but where it really starts is you have to research the field and the players. So not just get to know people, but ask questions. Who is already serving the need or the group or the cause that interests you? Where are they doing their work? How are they doing their work? Because when you learn about the area that you want to work with and you see very specifically who's already involved and what they're up to, you can start to design your own unique contribution. How can you do something different than what other people are already doing? Or how can you add to their efforts in a collaborative way? And then you can try out your idea on people who are already in the field. I'm thinking of doing this. What do you think? And start fine-tuning it based on their suggestions. So if you start acting collaboratively and cooperatively from the very beginning, you start to find supporters. You find people who say, wow, that's a great idea. You know, if you get that off the ground, I'd love to be part of it. And the next thing you know, you have a team. And once you have a team, then the thing is going to keep going because the team has expectations of you. Now it's not just you all by yourself. it's kind of like hiring an assistant, right? Once you have an assistant, things have to happen because you have to keep the assistant busy. If you have a team, you schedule a meeting. And once a meeting is scheduled, well, then stuff happens before the meeting takes place. So it can happen very organically if you're deliberate about it from the beginning and saying, this is what I want. I want to be able to serve this cause in some way. Let me figure out where I could fit into that picture and then see who I'm drawn to and who's drawn to me.
In fact, that's what we did for this project when I was first talking with Rich Gurman about the summit, and we were brainstorming about our fundraiser and how we wanted to do something different than we've seen other people doing with joint ventures. And we talked about wanting to have an impact that was measurable. And that wasn't my idea before I started talking to Rich. I wasn't having an idea of something measurable. I thought, well, we could raise some money, that's measurable. But he was talking about actually being able to measure impact, and that one way would be to do a plastics removal project. And then we thought, well, we don't want to be the ones organizing beach cleanups from scratch. We want to find out who's already doing beach cleanups or plastics removal, and how can we support them? And so that started me on a little adventure of finding the right recipient for our project, which we found then Plastics Bank. And now we're collaborating with them, and they can measure the amount of plastic for every, you know, $10 that we donate. We can remove 2,000 bottles from the environment and provide entrepreneurial opportunities for impoverished people in areas overrun by plastic. So I thought, wow, I never thought of that. That is so great to integrate eliminating poverty and, you know, entrepreneurship into this plastics removal project. So exactly what you're saying is exactly what happened with this project. And then I started sharing with people like you, I wanted to interview, people were really excited to participate. So it is a total collaboration. That's exactly what you said, CJ.
Yeah, exactly how we did it. It is. And I think that sometimes we feel, oh, this idea is secret and private and I need to keep it to myself. But that's not going to work, because then when you take it out in the world, everybody's going to know about it then. They need to know about it then. You have to start before you start, right, by acting in the beginning the way that you want things to be ultimately. You know, you want to have donors, you want to have customers, you want to have volunteers. Whatever your goals are for people engaging with this effort, once you have it up and running, you need to start that at the outset. And I love your description, Julia, of how that grows into things that you never thought of that turn out to be the perfect solution. And that's exactly what my experience has been as well.
Yeah, so let's not stay isolated with our brilliant ideas. Can you tell us a little bit about Citizen Angel? What's that about?
Sure. Citizen Angel is a funding vehicle for women and girls in the developing world, women's entrepreneurship, girls' education. And rather than trying to develop programs ourselves, we go and we look for where are programs already happening that we can then provide support for. So, for example, we support the project that I mentioned a moment ago, where girls in the slums of Mumbai are getting books. It's called Saki for Girls Education. And we provide funding for their literacy and life skills program for young Indian girls who otherwise might not stay in school. A huge percentage of Indian girls never go on to complete their education and end up going to work at a very early age or getting married and having children at a very early age. And therefore, they stay stuck in the cycle of under-earning. So by taking these young girls and making them comfortable with being in school because their skills are stronger, enabling them to have the basic skills that they can then pass the exams that every Indian child must pass in order to go on to what is we would think of as secondary school, and having the confidence to stay in school against sometimes social and family pressure to drop out and do something else. So it's an ideal multi-purpose program for our mission. And all that we do is raise money in order for that program to do its great work, because that's where we have contacts and connections, is here in the developed world. We don't know how to run a program in India, but the people on the ground do. And so rather than go in and try and make something happen that we're not experts in, instead what we're going to do is what we're good at, which is interacting with people here and getting them enthusiastic about the cause and saying, sure, I'd be happy to get on board with that. And in because of my interest and experience with giving circles, that is one of the big places that Citizen Angel gets funding, is from giving circles who want to support projects like the one I just described.
So great. So speaking of a fundraiser, we've got our fundraiser, which is our Changing the World Toolkit. And would you, I'd like to tell them about what you were going to provide, and then you can say a few words about it, okay?
Sure, absolutely.
I'm really excited about this contribution to the Changing the World Toolkit, which we're offering for donations to our fundraiser of $197 or more. And CJ is providing a Scaling Up Your Green Business package. So every entrepreneur wants their business to grow, but to scale up your green, sustainable, or socially conscious business, your mission has to be part of a better, your mission to be a part of a better world must remain central in your plans for growth. So you have to always have that as part of it. So in a 30-minute webinar, CJ is going to guide you into how to determine how you want your green business to grow, evaluate and choose from differing approaches to growth, know where to look for new customers, new products, or new team members, assess the role of marketing to help you scale up, and turn your list of ideas into an actionable plan. And you'll gain clarity about your direction, acquire new tools to boost your success, and reground yourself in the core principles of choosing a green path for your business. So CJ, I think one reason I thought this is so cool is so many of us want to make sure that our business or whatever we're doing is sustainable, and we want our business to be green. So having a how to scale up your green business and keep your focus central is really central to this whole, the purpose of this whole summit. Can you tell us a little bit about how you want to help people through this process?
So the webinar was originally developed for Green America, for their members. And it's based on the work that I do with social entrepreneurs who very often contact me when I first start working with them with an idea that is right now not necessarily either sustainable or scalable. So it's something that works for a solo proprietor, but then how can you make it bigger? How can you take it so that it's statewide, citywide, countrywide, worldwide. So that's where this program helps you to look. I think for all of us who are trying to have socially conscious businesses, we're looking at having that triple bottom line, profit, people, and planet. Because if we can create businesses that help people and benefit the planet and also make a profit, so much more good can be done in the world than if we just rely on more traditional funding sources like donations and grants and government agencies. So I really want to help entrepreneurs see how they can not just earn a living while they're making a difference, but earn a living at making a difference. And having a business that you can grow so that it is bigger than just you and it's sustainable enough to keep going is a way that you can make a much bigger impact.
I actually think that a conscious business like that is what I would call sustainable activism, where you're getting back in the form of finances and resources to continue your life, and you're contributing to some good cause in the world. So really thank you for providing that for our fundraiser. All of the proceeds minus whatever minor expenses that we have, all the proceeds are going to go to our project with the plastics bank to remove as many plastics from the environment before it reaches the ocean that we can. So CJ, do you have any thought, final words for our would-be change makers on the line, listening in, a little bit of advice for them that to help them stay inspired?
Well, I first said this in my book, Get Clients Now, you'll never be completely ready. Start from wherever you are. It's my belief that no matter who you are or where you're starting from, you do have the power to make a difference. And if you can begin with just one step, like I mentioned before, step off the shore, get in the ocean, put on your snorkel mask, look down, and see who and what is swimming around out there. You can start to move in the direction of becoming a change maker. Change begins with you.
Yes, it does. Well, thanks so much, CJ, for being a part of the Changing the World Summit. It's been a great pleasure to connect with you and get your wisdom today. And it's so perfect how your advice is exactly what we're doing. And I just feel like everyone is, we're in alignment with where we're going. And it's great to have, people like you in the world who aren't just stopping at, I have a good idea, but are going forward and making a real difference for people. So thanks so much, CJ, for that and for participating in the Changing the World Summit.
Thank you, Julia. I'm really excited about being able to participate in something that makes an impact like this.
Great. Okay, well, that'll be the end of our recording.
Thank you for listening to the Changing the World Summit, where inspiring leaders from around the world share their secrets on having more impact in these times of change. To participate in our project to remove over 1 million plastic bottles from the environment, please visit www.changingtheworldsummit.com now and make your contribution.